Just a couple of things I want to share. I've been doing a bit of a series on, I'm always unsure how to say it because I don't want to just have this catchy theme that just makes it sound simple. But it's really a discussion, if you like, about some of the things, just some of the things that I think are fairly important and really helpful in developing the intimacy of our relationship with God. And I always love that word, intimacy. I love that statement, intimacy with God. He designed us to live in intimacy with Him, to experience His presence every moment of every day. You know, I know sometimes we talk about coming into His presence when we come together, and there's a sense where His presence is experienced often in a different way, mainly because we take some priority time and focus, you know, on Him. But, you know, His presence is with us, isn't it? Every moment of every day. And we can enjoy that intimacy of His voice into our hearts, of His prompting in different ways. And it's a really, it's a wonderful adventure. And so it's something that can be fresh every day for us. Is that right? And I just really always encourage that. And so one of the things that we've talked about, I won't go back over, you know, where we're up to in the series, but what I did open up last week was just the idea of priority time. And I wanted to try and present it in a way that doesn't sound like, well, guys, this is your devotions that you've got to do. This is where, you know, you've got to set time aside and fulfill the obligations of the Christian life and make sure you read your word and pray and whatever. They're the things that are really important. But what I tried to do was to present it in a way that says, you know, when we actually experience His love, when we value the relationship, when He is the one we treasure above everything else and we learn to do that, then what happens is then we, even though there's a little bit of discipline involved at times to set the time aside and not have distractions, it's something that flows out of our devotion, out of our heart, of what we treasure in our heart, rather than, you know, the obligation and ticking the box. We often talk about it, and you know what I'm saying. But it's just something that's really important to me, that we experience the joy of living our life for Him and, you know, the things that we do in reading the Word, to understand why we do that and how that how He speaks through that and how that nourishes our life and helps us in our life. To take time to pray, you know, it's not just the ritual of prayer, but it's you know, taking priority time and just being able to be aware of His presence constantly, but then having some time where we set aside to ask and to, you know, ask for specific things or to just share our heart with Him and then listen to His voice into our heart as well. And so we finished up with Matthew 6, a passage there, which talks about primarily about not being anxious or worried. And it really flows well with what Ian shared with us this morning too. But not being anxious and worried about, you know, what we wear and what we, you know, and what we eat and all those things. And we did say, look, it's a no-brainer, but we know it's not talking about never thinking about it. It's not talking about, you know, starving and running around naked. We said that. But, you know, it is just not being overwhelmed, not being sort of buried in the thoughts of what am I going to do? How do I look? How do people see me? How am I, you know what I mean? All those things that can direct and steer our life. Because one of the verses that we highlighted was where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And we also said, because we're talking about priority time, we said where our treasure is, there our time will be also. Look, just very quickly, I shared an illustration which I think is helpful. When we were doing some classes up on the balcony there some time ago with a group that we just called it Momentum, because it was just a group of people that were, you know, wanted to come along and just to grow in some of the practical things of our Christian life and journey. And so one of the things that I enjoyed sharing with them was how we can actually think about, take a bit of time to deliberately think about what is important to us. What do we treasure in our heart? And we had this practical exercise. Again, I know I said it last week, but I think it's worth repeating because I did it pretty quickly last week. But we had this table, and on the table we said, you know, what is my life about? What do I treasure? And so as a way of trying to tangibly sort of work through that, because if I just say, well, have you got a mission statement for your life? Have you got something that's the priority of your life? It's very hard to broadly bring that into something. So one of the tools that's helpful to see what do I value? What is my life about? Is to look at the people in our life. Because life is about relationships. Who's come to that conclusion? That, you know, you can have all sorts of things in life, but ultimately, you know what, it comes back to relationships. It really does. And if you've never thought about that too much, it's good to think about that. Really think about doing life without any relationships. I mean, the first one is our relationship with God, isn't it? And then it's going to be, if you're married, it's going to be the relationship with your spouse. If you have children, it's going to always be your relationship with your children and even with your parents. No matter how old you are, no matter how old they are, there's something important, isn't there, about the relationships with our children and with our parents, with our wider family too. It can be something that we think about more if we're deliberate about it. Then you can go through all the different levels of where your relationship is. If you're in a workplace, you know, there's people that you work with. If you were to make a table and just make a column that's all the relationships that are important to you and that really influence your life, then obviously it's good to start with, I think it's good to start with God at the top. My relationship with God, really, it's central and everything else builds around it. And then all the people that are important in your life. And it's not like the priority. It's not like, you know, used to, in the years gone by, people used to say, well, what's the order of things that, you know, you're meant to do? Who's meant to be first, you know? And you'd go through all the different, what's the priorities? But really, it's a blending, isn't it, of all those relationships together. But there are relationships that affect us more, and so you can make a bit of a table of those relationships. For me, you know, as I was doing this table many years ago, it comes down to, you know, my role as a pastor. Well, then who are the people involved in that? Well, then it's the church family. And then as a community member, you know, well, it's the people in the community that I relate to, maybe my neighbor and then others that I relate to in different ways that I'm involved in the community. And you do the table. But then what you do with that is, so you just do that first, and then you look at, you know, what my key roles are, who are the key people that are involved in that. So I'm a husband, that's my wife. You know, I'm a father, that's my children. I'm a son, that's my parents. And whatever, and grandparents if they're still alive. And so then you list all those things, and then down the last column you put down there, what would I like those people to say about me, you know, at my 90th birthday, or just at some significant point late in our life. If you're just about to have your 90th birthday, well, you could say your 95th birthday, all right? So, but, you know, it's just looking at what do I want the end of my life to look like in the relationships that I have. And then what you do is you put down, what do you want them to say about you? You know, and it'd be good to probably give you an example of some of the things I wrote, but for time's sake, today we can't do that, but maybe one day we can sort of look at that too. But the thing is, then you look and say, well, if that's what I want the relationship to look like at the end of my life, how does my life today reflect that? How does the things that I give myself to, the things that I treasure and therefore the things that I value, how do they reflect in the allocation of my life and my time now? Again, that all might seem a little bit too mechanical to you, but I think it's just a wonderful exercise to look at, am I living consistent with my values? You know, what are the things that I really treasure? You know, where is my priority time? And so these verses make sense then, don't they? Matthew 6 verse 19 says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And it went on to Matthew 6:33, one that we hear talked about often. If you've been in church for a while, if you're new to church, it's a great verse to take a hold of. But if you've been in church life for a while, you've probably heard it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In Luke 12, this is one of those places, Ian, where you had it here somewhere and you're trying to find it on your phone, you know. But it just talks about, Jesus spoke this parable. He said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. So he's really talking about, I mean, this is really built around material things, but it's very much talking about what is it that wins your heart? What is it that you treasure? What is it that draws you? And he spoke this parable to them. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. Then whose will these things be which you have provided? And then it says, so he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. It's a pretty potent sort of parable, isn't it? And it just challenges us about, it's not designed to make us feel guilty about things. It's designed to just make us weigh up and say, what is really the thing that I treasure? What is the thing that becomes the priority for my life and therefore the priority for my time and my resources? And just one other quick one that I thought I'd like to read to you quickly and just refer to, and you can think about it later, is from Hebrews 11. You know the faith chapter? And it's Hebrews 11 verse 24. Excuse me for rushing. But verse 24 just talks about Moses. It says, by faith Moses, Hebrews 11, 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, and really that point is significant in his day and time because it meant that suddenly now he could make choices for his own life. All right. So before that he was perhaps subject to those around him, family and others, but now he's at a point where he can begin to think about what does he want for his own life? Where is he heading, as Ian asks us today? What does he value? And it says that when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. It's beautifully worded in the old New King James, or the older translation. The New King James is an older translation. Doesn't make sense, does it? But anyway, it's one of the older translations, and it's beautifully worded there, isn't it? That, you know, he just esteemed, even if it cost something to follow Christ, that was better than the riches of the treasures in Egypt. You know, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's where his eye was. That's where his focus was. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, tempting to do so, were drowned. And so it just talks about how he made this decision for his life, that actually he had options. But the thing that he chose was to seek first what God had for his life and to make that the treasure of his heart. I've got two little clips. When I finished preaching last week, Sam and I, she was staying at her mum's place, and so we went round there and spent the afternoon, and we watched this movie there, and these two little clips that I just want to play for you, and then we're finished. We're just on this movie, and I said to Sam, mate, they really fit what we talked about today in our message. So Jeremy kindly popped them on the desktop. They're just a couple of minutes each. We'll play those to you, and then we'll pray and finish and head out towards the Rocky Water Holes for the baptism. I hope you find these inspiring in light of what we've just spoken about. Thank you.
Your identity will be tied to whatever you give your heart to. wait,
you're calling me a bad Christian? Let me be a little direct.
Last time you were here, you said you'd pray for me. Did you?
No.
For someone who knows the Lord, you act like somebody who doesn't, which makes me wonder. What if you allow it to define you? When you lost your teeth, it didn't just disappoint you, it devastated you. Something or someone will have first place in your heart. But when you find your identity in the one who created you, it will change your whole perspective.
Probably whet your appetite to watch that movie, but anyway. Father, just a couple of things that we've referred to today and just the things that you want to say to us individually where we're at in your unfolding agenda and purpose in each of our lives. Father, in this season, may we just discover some of the keys to experiencing greater intimacy with you. May we just learn the joy and experience the joy, find the joy, discover the joy of devoting our life totally to what you would have for us, what your plan and purpose for us is, to trust you in that, to know that you know us better than we know ourselves. Lord, we invite you just to stir our hearts, to draw us, to teach us, to instruct us. Lord, to move us to a place that reflects much more of what it is to be a follower of you. For those of us maybe who don't know you today, Lord, I just pray that you would just lead us, show us, draw us, Father. Help us experience what it is to know you as our Lord and Savior, to experience life through relationship with you. God, we thank you. We commit the rest of our time today together, Lord, for the joyful experience that we're going to have with the baptism and just fellowship together. Lord, we pray you'd be right in the middle of all of it. Encourage us today and be with us through this week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.